Well, better late than never. Wendy, would you like to come up? We announced at the beginning of the year that Wendy had tendered her resignation. She finished up just before Easter, but just due to circumstances of travelling around with Matthew, we didn't have a chance to say a final goodbye, even though you're still going to be a part of White Hill. So as a staff, we've given you something, but as a church, we just wanted to give you something else. And people have written lots of cards. It's not too late to get them. There's a whole bunch of thank you cards of people have written of best wishes. So, it's on. Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you is a two-way street, and I want to very sincerely thank each and every one of you and Daryl and the ministry team here for what you have given me in the years that I've served as a pastor. It's been a really special part of my life, and the impact that you've had on me and what you have each and every one of you have given to me, I'm very grateful for. So thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, I want to get a bit personal today. Let's talk about the journey that I've been on of health this year. I shared earlier and last week that I've been crook. Some of you know that we came back from Europe, had a great time seeing Nate over there in Paris, but when I got back, I was crook. I was really crook. And didn't know what it was, so I went to the doctor and he asked for all these tests to be done on me. And I had a blood test, which I love. Not a test on other parts of my body that I won't go into. Had an ultrasound. It's a boy, so Bonnie and I are very excited. and the results came back. I had two parasites. And Paris was the last place I've been, so I called them my pair of Paris parasites. But he didn't know where they came from. They just, you know, these things just happen sometimes. So I had medication. But in the process, he said, look, your blood pressure's really high. And it could be the parasites or it could be something else. Let's do the treatment. Let's check that out. And then when that's done, let's see how it goes. So I did the treatment and got rid of the parasites. Felt better. That was good. Went back, checked the blood pressure. It's still really high. Still really high. So he said, look, we need to get on to this. He said, perhaps you get a blood pressure machine, take the blood pressure at home, because he said some people can have white coat fever. He said, even though us doctors don't wear white coats anymore, sometimes just the process of being in the surgery makes your blood pressure go high when the doctor says, I'm going to take your blood pressure. You go, and it goes up, you know, 20 points. So I started testing it at home, and it's really high. I won't even tell you how high it is. So he said, let's have some more tests. So had a stress test, and some of you had those where you get on the treadmill and run and, you know, get stripped down. A cardiologist has to be there just in case you die on the machine, as someone knows someone here that happened to and had quadruple bypass the next day. So I really stressed out my heart, but did quite well. Like my heart's in good nick. They said, how are you going? And I said, good. He said, great, you've just passed where you should be for a 40-year-old. And I said, good, because I'm 57 this year, so I'm better than a 40-year-old. And he said, honestly, your heart's boringly normal. You know, it's almost an anticlimax. There's nothing to do. Your heart's good. But your blood pressure's still high. Your pulse is good, but your blood pressure's still high. So I went back to the doctor, more blood tests, which I had on Friday. So got to waiting for the results of that back and still on the journey. Now doing the treadmill test, I thought, oh, I don't mind this running caper, I might get into that. So Bonnie and I have been doing the park run. And it's really interesting to observe people in the park run. There's heaps of people that do it. And some look like, you know, as Dan said, they're built for comfort more than speed. but they're beating me every week, you know, and I'm improving every week. I'm actually, except for yesterday, doing PBs most weeks. And there's some that are lean and mean that I'm flying past. It's real. And of course, there's some lean and mean that can do two laps quicker than I can do one. But I share that not because it's about me or my process of hopefully getting my blood pressure under control, but it just, and I know some of you are dealing with much more serious health things, but it just made me think of the link between the physical health that I'm battling with and our spiritual health. There's a link, as I said before, that Jesus often referred to physical things like a tree growing, and said the kingdom of God is like that. That Paul would write to Timothy and say physical exercise is of some value, but spiritual fitness has value for this life and for the next life. So it's much more valuable. There are a whole lot of vital signs of physical health that have a corresponding link to our spiritual health. And in the journey that I've been on, I just was really interested in playing with these relationships and these connections. I would love there to be some sort of test that you could go to the spiritual doctor and he take a biopsy of your soul or a little bit of your spirit and go, oh yes, this level is low. Yes, this level is too high. We need to get within these limits and you're not right in these areas. But of course you can't do that. When we talk about stuff of the soul or the spirit, those things are by definition non-physical. You can't see them, you can't test them, you can't touch them. Nevertheless, it's still really important, I think, to try to get a measure of these things, because it's our soul that will go into eternity. It's our spirit that will live on long after our body goes. As much as we look after our body, we've only got 50, 70, 100 years. But our spirit will go into eternity. So why don't we spend an inordinate amount of time more looking after our spirit or our soul than our body? So we're going to start a vital signs series that looks at some key spiritual vital signs. But before that, I want to look at three lessons that I've learned along the way about my health that have to do with spiritual health as well. The first one is this. You have your outline, fill in these as we go. It's not just how you feel. To be honest, I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine, if you know the REM song. Or, I feel good, da-da-da-da-da-da. Apart from the parasite stuff that I got, I feel okay. I felt okay when we were going around Europe. We were doing 25,000 steps some days. But I obviously wasn't okay. My blood pressure is high. And when it comes to spiritual health, the same is true. You might feel fine. You might say, I'm okay. I don't need any of this God stuff. I don't need to go deeper. I'm okay where I am. I feel fine. I'm okay. I don't need this. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the things that we have going on don't have obvious symptoms. Sometimes the stuff we wrestle with in life doesn't really show itself until later down the track, and then it's too late. And that's what the doctor's warning me against with the blood pressure. Get it down, because you don't notice the symptoms until it's too late. And spiritually speaking, the same. We can go along, I feel fine, I don't need this God thing, I don't need to go any deeper, but there's something else going on. There was a church in the Asia Minor region in the Bible, like ours. They had a church consultancy. Jesus, Holy Spirit, visited and gave them this evaluation. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That area around that church in Laodicea had an earthquake. They were part of the the umbrella of the Roman Empire in the day. And after that earthquake, Rome came in and offered them support, the great resources of the Roman Empire. And Laodicea, as a city, said, "We don't need you. We're fine. We're so rich ourselves, we've got all the resources to help ourselves." Now, that's good to be self-sufficient in life. It's good to be, not taking all the time. Unfortunately, the church spiritually took on those sort of values of the culture, and that's not good. And they got so self-sufficient. "We don't need God. We're okay. We feel fine." But they weren't. And the evaluation was very different. So in terms of our spiritual health, we can't just go on how we feel. We've really got to open ourselves up to God to say, "God, what are you saying? What are you telling me? What would you put your finger on?" So it's not just how you feel. Secondly, it's not just about age. It's not just about age. Physically, I was overweight. I've been losing a bit of weight. It's really hard to get the weight off, but I've been trying. Now I see young people and what they eat and they go, "Ah, yes, those were the days. Ah, those were the days. Eat anything you want." The young ones come to the park, run, no exercise, no nothing. They just turn up, go flat out, they're beating me. The most embarrassing ones are to be passed by the guy with the baby in the pram. Or I'm still running and someone's walking fast and they pass me up the hill. That's really... Physical health, I think when you think of age, when you're young, "Oh, I don't have to worry about that. I got that. I can eat what I want, I can do what I want, and it's okay." Spiritual health, I reckon that swaps around. And with old age, we go, "Oh, I don't need to worry about that. I'm older now, I'll be right, I can't change, I don't need to change, I don't want to change, I'm not going to change." But I reckon that's where we really need to look closely. Because that's not how the Bible puts it. When the Apostle Paul writes to a young pastor called Titus, he says this: "Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children." He doesn't say, "Hey, older people, you don't have to worry about that stuff. Enjoy your retirement. Just be grumpy with everyone and, that's your thing in life." No. He challenges the young pastor Titus. This is what you should be teaching the older people in your church. They've still got something of value to give. Be filled with love and patience. Live wisely. Show young married people how to love each other. Show everyone in the church what it's like. Some of our young people haven't grown up with Christian families. When you interact with them, show what it's like to have been a Christian all your life, sometimes longer than they've been alive. Show our young people what it's like to be a person of faith and what that looks like in your older years, so they have an example to look up to that they can remember. And I'm privileged in remembering some of the, I call them old guys in our church, they're probably as old as I am now, but to remember that sort of great example. So don't just think this spiritual health stuff is an age thing, it's for the young people to grow and you don't have to grow when you're older. Let me challenge our old, I think our older generation are great, but I challenge you to keep going on that. Live lives worthy of respect. See what it's like to live with the changes in our world and yet anchored to the security that is your faith in Jesus. So it's not just about age. And finally, there's not just one measure of spiritual health. As I said, I look at some of these runners and go, wow, lean, mean, great runners. Nah. I look at other guys, wow, really big. The guy yesterday, almost 100 runs. He's still beating me. And sometimes we think when it comes to spiritual health, the same sort of thing. Well, I'm X, Y, Z. I'm this, I'm okay. I'm moral, I wouldn't do any bad things. I come to church, I'm generous. Whatever it is, you put your whole spiritual measure in one set of values. But there's a whole lot of others that you need to grow on. Great that if you're good in that. That's why we're looking over 8 to 10 weeks, Paul, of different things. Different things, a whole lot of different things. And some you go, I've nailed this, I'm really good at this. Great. Look at the area you're weak in. Ask God to reveal the area that you've got room to grow in. When Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, since you have excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you also to excel in this gracious act of giving. You know, as a church, they had great faith, they had great enthusiasm, but maybe they weren't as generous as other churches Paul knew. Maybe you're generous but don't have the enthusiasm. Maybe there's things in there that you're strong at. So what I'm saying is, just like in physical health, my pulse is great. Resting pulse the other day was 61. That's pretty good. My blood pressure wasn't. So there's more than one measure. So what are the vital signs? What are the ones we're going to have a look at? We're going to have some fun with them. Some of you think, where did you get them from? But I just thought there's just a corresponding thing between how a doctor might measure these sort of things or things if we've got a problem in that we need to address and how they relate to our spiritual health. So if you have your pen, write these down. I'm just going to go through them real quick and then go through them one by one. Just as a bit of an overview, I'll be really quick. And then we'll wrap up. So they are nutrition, growth, reproduction. That should be an interesting week. Excretion, sensitivity, pressure, and respiration. So that's what we're going to cover. I won't go a lot into nutrition because I'm doing that next week, so I'll keep my powder dry. But I want to ask some questions. Where are we getting fed? Who's feeding you? What stuff are you getting from someone else? What are you doing with what you get? So I'll talk about nutrition next week. Week after, Julie is looking at growth. Living things physically grow. When you have kids, you have those books that have the growth chart percentiles of weight, of height. You have other measures as they get up of how their language skills are developing. And you see that growth. Living things are meant to grow. And we are meant to grow spiritually. Is your faith growing? Is your soul being nurtured by something? Or have you plateaued? Or have you gone downhill? And Julie will challenge us about growing, just as Paul did to the Thessalonian Christians. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. See those key words, growing, increasing. Are we heading more and more down that direction? Are we growing to be more like Jesus? So Julie is going to cover growth. Week after that, I'm going to look at reproduction. Now, I'm conscious the difficulties some couples have had in having children. And I want to be sensitive to that. But even if couples come together and get married, then you think children are going to be not too far down the track. Most couples try to have children to pass on their family line. But it also happens to us at a cellular level in the body. We are always being replaced. Blood cells only have a limited lifespan. And when they die, the body, as part of its mechanisms, is always reproducing other cells to replace the ones that die. And the wonderful thing is that not only physically, but spiritually, God has built into us a capacity to reproduce ourselves in other people. And I would suggest of all of these that we're going to look at, of our different vital signs, this is one that we don't do real well. That even though the human body has an amazing capacity to reproduce itself, as Christians we don't do as well to reproduce our faith, our life, our values in other people. Spiritually speaking, I think this is a real lack. I'm going to look at four letters that we need to say to other people and really try to get into a process of investing in someone else to reproduce our spiritual life in them. Not just our children, but other people. We have that bodily aspect, as Renee talked about, her experience of a real family in Christ here. If we just take that to another level. When Paul writes to young Timothy, he says this, "The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." And it's that four generations, five if you count, you know, Jesus or the Holy Spirit was teaching Paul when he first came and he withdrew himself for a time. And Paul said, "Timothy, I know you heard me speak. You were there when I was teaching that in the presence of many witnesses. You were there, but I know you were really focused. You were keen. Well, I want you now to take what I've said. Take the things that I've taught you in that group and entrust that to other reliable people." The third generation, Paul to Timothy to reliable people. And then teach them to pass that on to someone else qualified to teach others. And so often, unfortunately, our spiritual chain, the link ends. We get so far and stop. Is there a spiritual value of reproduction in us? The next week after that, Paul is going to cover excretion. Yes, whose idea was that? But let me assure you, he will be as delicate as he is with the subject. So it'll be all good. But let's be honest and just put it out there. Every living body has to do a bowel or a bladder movement every now and again. Because the body we all do it. The body produces those things. They're just as a byproduct of living. There's certain things that the body develops that are just waste. We cannot keep them in. Now, skin and sweat and blowing our nose and all those other things, we're used to doing that. Physically, we know that's a really important part of the body. A good emptying does wonders for us physically. In the same way, there are things that clog our soul. There are things that are byproducts just of the way of living. Our connections with other people, the disagreements that we have, the way our body responds to those, unresolved feelings, and storing them up, keeping them close, keeping them in is toxic to our soul. If we don't get rid of those things, it is really dangerous. And people know that physically. People know if you can't do that. Physically, that's a real problem. But spiritually, that can have some eternal consequences. And that's why the apostle, as he writes to the Ephesians, says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And if we don't get rid of those things, it can be incredibly toxic spiritually to us. So Paul will talk about excretion. That will be fun. The next week I will talk about sensitivity. Sometimes I think we wonder, wouldn't it be good not to be in pain? Because of the running, I've pulled a few muscles and tendons and a few things at the moment. I've got a bit of a hobble. But wouldn't it be good not to be in pain? Wouldn't it be good to feel no pain? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How dangerous would it be? Because our feet, our hands, they have a certain amount of sensitivity to warn us of danger, to give us feedback of where we need to go, to pull up on things if we're going there, to put a hand on a stove, to stick a pin, we recoil. A certain amount of sensitivity is good. We don't want to be oversensitive, we don't want to be undersensitive, and I want to talk about, again, an impaired sensation that I have. Spiritually speaking, it's really good to have the right level of sensitivity. A sensitivity to God. That we sense when we hear His voice, when we know that He's saying something to us. When you know He wants us to act on a certain thing. And if we're not sensitive in that way, we miss the voice of God. We miss His leading. Like the danger things. There are dangerous signs when we are sensitive enough to know, no, I can't go here. And if we're sensitive to the voice of God, we hear Him warning of danger, of guiding our path. It's also good to be sensitive to other people. One of the things I think that happens along the way is that we get very cynical, we get very cold. And I want to look at that sensitivity that particularly Jesus had to people as His heart went out. On one occasion, Luke's Gospel tells us that a funeral procession was coming and a young man who had died was the widow's only son. A large crowd in the village was with her. And when the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. Sometimes, unfortunately, I think we've seen so many things in our lives. Our heart overflows with coldness. Our heart overflows with callousness. Our heart overflows with the wrong things. Instead of being sensitive to the needs of others, we block them out. We need to be aware of that. I want to look at pressure. Pressure is a big thing, and it's amazing how people respond to pressure in good ways and bad ways. And spiritually, there's all this incredible pressure. I think we've got a verse up there, Emma, that talks about not being anxious about anything. But by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God and the peace of God. So many people aren't at peace because of what's going on. Well, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Someone said, instead of just talking to God about our anxiety, maybe we should talk to our anxiety about God and how big God is. And I want to look at how we deal with pressure. The final week in respiration is just the importance of the Spirit. I mean, in breathing, you don't think about breathing. Breathing is just something you do all the time. You don't have this, you know, instructions on your hand. In, out, in, out. You know, you just do it. Sometimes we don't think about the Holy Spirit in us as well and what His role is. And Paul is going to look at this respiration, the importance of how the Spirit gives life. This verse in Corinthians says that very last part, Paul's talking about the new covenant, and one of the blessings we have in that is having the Holy Spirit. And it's not the letter of the law we don't have to keep rigidly, but the Spirit gives life. And how are we breathing? How are we using the breath of God in our lives to live? So they're the vital signs. They're the ones we're going to cover over the next, I don't know how many weeks. But I got one more. We've got Mother's Day in there. So Mother's Day, we're just going to take a break. Justine Cadena, who's spoken at our women's events, she's going to speak for us on Mother's Day. But one of the things I want to address, because this big picture theme that we're doing all year is Mind the Gap. And just as you look at those things on your outline or you remember those, I just want to ask, where's the gap? My gap is between my ideal weight and where I am now. My gap is between my blood pressure where it is now and where it should be. Where's the gap in those vital signs for you? Between where you are now and where you could be, where you should be, where God wants you to be. Where's the gap? Mind the gap. What should you be concentrating on? Where are you strong? Where is that one area you go, yep, I think I nailed that. I can deal with pressure. But what's the area that you need help with? The last one I want to emphasize, I've had three learnings, but the last learning that I want to emphasize is this, that you're not just on your own. And one of the great things about even physical health is that we're in it together. I can't believe I'm running, getting up at 6 on a Saturday morning to go for a run. But it's because there's so many people there. The park run's a really interesting phenomenon. There's heaps of people that do it. And Wayne and Karen and Jeff and Rachel, and there's some other people in the church that have been. And if you said, oh, okay, by yourself, you're going to do a run that early in the morning, that wouldn't be in it. But knowing there's a couple of hundred other people there and those people that I know there, yep, I'll go. And if you think you're weak in this area, you think you're weak in some of these spiritually, you're not on your own with it. In fact, one of Wendy's ideas that she really wanted to get across before she left was to have this prayer buddy system, or I've changed it to Praymates. See what I did there? Praymate. So a couple of weeks' time, we're going to launch Praymates, where you get together with some mates that maybe you meet in a group already. Maybe you would like to meet in a group where it's literally praying for each other's vital signs. Praying that you improve spiritually. Praying that you get support. So a couple of weeks' time, I really want you to think about this, and Julie's going to launch this, I think, in a couple of weeks' time. That we get together in groups and pray for each other. That we support each other in what we're going through. That we're not going through alone. It's not just the friendship cards or someone else praying, but we're really getting to know each other as praymates. How's your vital signs? We're all on a journey. I'm on a journey of improving. I've got to go back to the doctor with my last blood test results and see what's ahead. I hope you're still on a journey to improve your vital signs too. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the challenge you give us, not just to look at our physical health, but our spiritual health as well, that spiritual health and vitality is just so important. And thank you that you give us the wherewithal, you give us the ideas, you give us the challenge. And Lord, please be speaking to us about these things. Please be speaking to us about the areas that we're weak in, not just to go on our own feelings and think we're okay. But Lord, challenge us to go beyond that. And would you reveal to us where we need to go, where we need to improve, where we need to change, where we perhaps are not as good as we think we are. But Lord, we can really be healthy and vital and alive in the best sense of the word. So thank you for these things that you speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.